That is a spooky, spooky chorus. Because he's going to ask you to go and do things that you don't feel equipped. And honestly, you're not equipped for it. It's a time of transition. As a parent, can my high school kid, can they go out into a world that's going to try and strip them of everything of Jesus, into a college in which they're going to purposely try to strip that Christianity from them? Or is a season of life that you never expected? God, I can't go through this anymore. Or maybe there's something going on in the family or workplace and you're going, I can't. This is a spooky time in life. And we must learn that we're not alone. He's not going to lead you someplace that he does not provide what is necessary. He is awful quiet, though, isn't he? Awful quiet. We understand Jesus and what he did on the cross, bearing the penalties of our sins. We understand that. But so often, as a born-again child of God, we fail to grasp the power that is within us through the Spirit of God. So often we forget that there is the power of creation within us. And as a result, we stop looking to the power and look to ourselves. We're going to look at the what's called the Ruach Elohim, which is the breath of God, or the Spirit of God this morning. Not in totality, but just to get snippets so you get an idea of that power that's within you, that is available to you. The history of mankind does not begin with a big bang or a primordial ooze or aliens from another solar system. It originated in the mind and authority and the power of Elohim, which is God, the mighty creator of heaven and earth. That's the one you belong to, folks, as a born-again child of God. That is your heavenly Father. He walks this earth through the Spirit of God. He saves your soul through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's who you belong to. Isaiah 42 verse 5 says, "This is what God the Lord says, the creator of heaven and earth, who stretches them out." Now that's an interesting phrase. Who stretches them out, because that's what our solar system is doing. It's continuing to move, continuing to stress. But here back 700 years ago, God says, "I'm doing that." They did not understand that the earth was circular for so many generations, but yet Scripture says that God sits on the circle of the earth. But he's stretching that. He spreads out the earth that, and all that springs with it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. Folks, you are not created to walk just in existence. You were created to walk in a newness of life, an understanding of who you are, and a power that is within you, and to walk this earth as blessed people. Blessing has nothing necessarily to do with your current state affairs. But it's that we know God Almighty, that we know the power that is within us, that we know where we're going and what he's doing. We are blessed beyond measure, so as a result, we can walk in newness of life. The Hebrew word for breath is that one right there, neshama. You don't know whether I said that right or not, do you? And that refers to the breath of life bestowed by God. Bestowed by God. It carries the idea of a continuous, active giving. A constant giving of life breath and spirit to humanity. He breathes his spirit within his children. It is a continuous action that shows humanity's dependence on God is absolute. As he sustains his life, he just doesn't initiate it and walk away, as some suggest, but he is actively involved in it. The story of humanity begins in Genesis 1, 1 through 2. Look at the spirit within this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. He just, boom, there it was, okay? He hasn't done anything else. It doesn't necessarily mean there's a time frame that's gone through here. But it's created, but look what the Spirit is doing. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. covering over the waters. That word creata is bara. That means to create, to shape, or form something entirely new rather than remodeling, getting pre-existing things and putting it together. The Spirit of God is the word, Hebrew word, ruach Elohim. The Spirit of God. It means breath. It means spirit. It means wind. In the mindset of the Jewish people, it means power. It means presence. It means protection. And it's hovering. Did you catch that? It is hovering over the waters. We find it actively moving over the waters, implying a gentle, protective, and an energetic brooding. Brooding. I describe this as God being excited about what He's getting ready to do. As the waters, He's protecting, He's moving, and God is excited by what He's about ready to do. It's similar. If you've ever been out in a field and a massive thunderstorm is coming, it's got you circled, and you can feel the pressure of it, and you know you better get inside real quick. Well, that's what God is just excited. Oh, if they only knew what I was getting ready to do. So God created man in His own image. Folks, you were a created being made in the image of God. Precious, different from all other aspects of creation. In the image of God, He created them, male and female He created them. And we see how He does that in Genesis 2:7. The Lord formed the man of dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. There's the ruach again. And man became a living creature. Folks, remember Isaiah. God breathed to the people His life. In other words, God got His hands dirty with mankind. He was active. No place else in Scripture does he do this, but He got His hands dirty, specifically creating mankind in His image. Breath of life, that divine, animated, that's giving life and energy and motion to something, that life forth God breathes into humanity, making them living beings. He does that to no other part of creation. That part of His breath that took this man made out of dust, and I think He stood up in a flash. Boom, I'm here. That was God breathing life into him. It's more than just physical breath. See that? More than just physical breath. It represents an act of giving, sharing, or granting something, a special spiritual life directly from God through the Ruach Elohim, through His breath, highlighting the unique and intimate and dependent relationship between mankind and the Creator. I want you to understand, do not believe what they teach you today, that we are just a little higher than the animals. Do not believe that you were not created, that you have just evolved of some form. But God created you specifically to have a relationship with you, to walk with you, to nurture you, to guide you, to strengthen you, and to develop within you His character. And sometimes His character building involves hardships. We know that. We have to let our kids fail at times, don't we? We see Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, working in His creation throughout history. Okay? Throughout history, the Spirit comes upon those who speak for them. The prophets, the Spirit of God came upon them, and they prophesied what God had instructed them. Genesis 41:38, here is Joseph. As Joseph has been a servant in a household, he's been mistaken by the household's wife, that he was trying to do something to her. He wound up in prison. In prison, he was forsaken by the baker and the cupbearer that also did that. But in prison, God gave one of them a vision. And Joseph was able to interpret it. He told that to the head of the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom the Spirit of God, that's Ruach Elohim. Is there anyone like Joseph that has the presence and the power of God within them? He spoke for God. Can we find a man like this in whom is the Ruach Elohim? 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is breathed out by God. All scriptures is to be used to speak to us, to grow us and nurture us, empower us to know who we are in Christ Jesus. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work that God has for him to do. You are in a pro-growing program, Christians. God's presence, His breath speaks through His word. But He also speaks in funny ways. Funny ways. Balaam was, we're not quite sure what Balaam was, okay? But he had some force to be able to pronounce curses on people. And the kings of Moab wanted him to pronounce a curse upon Israel because Israel was coming. And God allowed him to go, and he said, but you only do what I tell you, what I say to do. And he blessed Israel, and he blessed Israel time and time. Finally, the last time, God says, do not go with them. Do not go. Well, they were paying him a lot of money. So he went. Riding his donkey, all of a sudden an angel of the Lord with a sword was in the roadway, and the donkey veered off. Made Balaam mad. And then he did it again and again, and finally, the donkey just laid down. Numbers 22, 30, and verse 27. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she laid down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Now look at this. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Say, what? And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me three times? This donkey spoke Hebrew. Can you imagine? Not only does the donkey speak, it speaks Hebrew. And Balaam understands it. Now, here's what's funny about it. Balaam has a discussion with him. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you've made me a fool, that's why I struck you. I wish I had a sword in my hand, then I would kill you. And he's having an argument with a donkey. As God is speaking to him through that animal. That's the power that God yields. That's the power. Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life, long life this day? Is it my habit to treat you that way? And Balaam says, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face. Folks, God will use whatever he needs to get your attention. That's the God you serve. Randy, I don't know if I'm going the wrong direction. I don't know if I've really heard from God. I'm afraid to take the next step that is so fearful. Folks, if he can make a donkey talk, he can make us understand. Correct? Oh, some of you are going, I'm not going there, Randy. Not going there. But that's true. That's the power of the Spirit of God. God's Spirit gives inspiration and ability. The Lord inspired, look at this, all the artistry according to what He had in mind for the Holy Temple. Okay, look at this verse, Exodus 31, 2 through 5. See, I have called by name Bezalel, that one, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. He has filled him with the Ruach Elohim again, with the ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood to do the work of the craft. I have also given the ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. He was very specific in what the temple should look like. And I'm guessing that those in charge are going, can't do that. I don't have that ability to do that. And God created that ability within them to carry out the work that He said in exactly the way that He so wanted it done. Folks, whatever He has called you to do, He will give you that ability to do through the Spirit of God. He will give you that strength. You must maintain that firm grip on who you are in Christ Jesus and allow the Spirit of God to work that within you. But Randy, I can't do it. I don't even know if I can make it the next day. The Spirit of God can do that through you. Look to Him, not your frailty. Don't look at your weakness. Look at the power that's within us through the Spirit of God. And God gives life to where there is none. Ezekiel tells about a valley of dry bones. And Ruach Elohim was once again hovering over it. Valley of dry bones, nothing there. It's been in the desert. And Ruach Elohim called them to life. And once the words were spoken over them, they came to life. They grew muscles, tendons, ligaments, and flesh. It can do that. Randy, you don't believe that. Yes, I believe that He can. In this case, the breath of God gives life where previously there was none. But God, the Spirit of God also gives power and authority to carry out His will on earth, even to His Son. Mark 1, 9 through 11, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when He came up out of the water, immediately He saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending upon Him like a dove, another part of the Scripture says, and remained on Him. And a voice called from heaven, "You are My beloved Son, with You I am well pleased. I have gifted You with the ability to be My Son in the flesh here on this earth." The Spirit, what did He do? He immediately drove Him into the wilderness to be tempted and tested for 40 days by the wild animals and the angels ministering to Him. So yes, our life gets difficult. Our life gets hard. Jesus' life was hard. And He was maintained by the Spirit of God. We see this also in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is resurrected. Boy, the disciples are excited. Now's the time that God's going to establish His kingdom on earth. No, now's not. Jesus, look what He says. Stay in Jerusalem, but you will receive power when the, what's those next words? Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the end of the earth. Jesus had given them that task. Go to the end of the earth. And they're going, there's just 12 of us. 11, really. How are we supposed to do that? And God gave not just those 12, but the church, the Spirit of God, to go into the nations and proclaim that Jesus is alive. And it is undeniable that the work of the Holy Spirit leads to a person to faith in Jesus as Messiah. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin." You were a valley of dry bones before salvation. You're dead. There is no future for you. Your eternity was separation from God forever. How dead, you might say. Is it kind of like what's that movie we like? The Princess Bride. Well, he's mostly dead. But not completely dead. Is that how we are, Randy? No. Paul tells us in Romans 3:10 through 12, none of us is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. That's us. That was us. We had no right to stand before a holy and righteous God. Not only did we not have the right, we didn't even know the way of peace. They have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is why Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one comes to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Exactly. No one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws them. So how does the Father draw us? How does He give us the faith necessary to believe? How is He going to raise us up on the last day? Yeah, you got it. Ruach Elohim. The same breath that created creation is the one that brings us to Him. It's the same one that gives us the wisdom to understand, that knowledge to understand who we are and what He has done. It's the same one that gives us the faith necessary to believe is the breath of God. You see this in the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee like all of the Pharisees. He was growing, he was going up the chart of Pharisees quite fast. And he was going to capture and arrest Christians for the sole purpose of bringing them back to Rome so they could be martyred, be used as candles so they could go into the Colosseums. That was his purpose. But on the way, Jesus encountered him. He didn't give him a big theological discussion. He just said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he blinded him. Because that's the way Saul was. He was spiritually blind. And after the seeing the vision, he waited for 3 days. Wouldn't you like to know what he was thinking about? He was going through Scripture like you cannot believe. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God was bringing a revelation of knowledge to him. Acts 9:17. He sent Ananias to go lay hands on Paul so that he could see. And Ananias is going, "God, I'm sorry, but do you remember who Saul is? He came to arrest us. This does not seem..." "Ananias, I said, go do it." "Yes, sir. I got you. I'm not sure I agree with this, but because you said go, I'm going." Ananias departed, entered the house, laying his hands on him, and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And scales fell from his eyes. He understood. And the Spirit of God came upon this man that had no reason in and of his intelligence to accept Jesus. But the Spirit of God allowed him to do that. See, the work of the Spirit of God does 3 important things. He restores physical, spiritual sight by waking up the human spirit through confession. "I'm a sinner. I'll admit that. I need forgiveness of my sins. If I was to die right now, I will have spent eternity separated from everything that is good." He restores our spiritual eyes. Then he removes the obstacles of being dead in one's trespasses and sin. "I was dead there." And he removes that. And then the Spirit indwells us and seals us when we become born again children of God. You carry within you, born again children of God, the power of creation. Think about that. The power of creation resides within you. I can never, oh, God never said that. He will lead you through some dark times, but never will he leave you hopeless. God's Holy Spirit also functions as light for himself. He illuminates the truth and reality of the life of Christ. Sinclair Ferguson said it like this: "He does not add information about Jesus. The Spirit," Jesus said, "when the Spirit comes, you can trust him because he'll only say what I tell him to say and what he's heard me say." He's not going to change Jesus. Don't have somebody come up to you and say, "Well, the Spirit of God is upon me and here's the way Jesus is today." Doesn't work that way. He only hears from the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not add information. He simply opens our eyes to see the reality of who he really is. That's who you carry within you. The role of the Word and the Spirit are intimately entwined. He takes the Word of God and he makes it real in our lives. We see and we have faith, not because we mustered it up, because God's Word says it. And it's backed up by the power and authority of God Almighty. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to hold on fast to it. Someone said, "The Ruach quickens," that's brings to life, revive, or gives vitality to something. "The Ruach quickens us to the veracity," that's the quality or state of being truthful, honest, and accurate of Scripture, "which are God-breathed." Do you see that? Do you see that? Psalms 33, verse 6, By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath, his mouth, all their hosts." The power. Ruach reminds us of Jesus' words in the gospel, leads us to the truth of the epistles, and shows us the things to come in Revelation. That's who you carry within you. And like a light flashlight shining in the darkness, the Spirit of God lights our path through the Word of God. Much like raccoons and mice, they like to come out at night. And who can deny that they're not some critters in our heart that come out at times? Perhaps it's pride. Perhaps it's vanity. Being overly concerned with matters of the world. Maybe it's a numbness. You've not stirred up that spirit within you and worshiped Him and praised Him and stood out in faith with Him. And as a result, you're cold inside. Your valley of dry bones. Sinclair Ferguson also says, continued, that the Ruach enlightens our minds to enable us to know, see, grasp, and apply the will and purposes of God. That's the Spirit of God. It shines a light on all of our undesirables and ministers to our need with gentle correction and care. He is our comforter, our counselor, our helper. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Living Bible says it like this: and if the Spirit of God who raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, He will make your dying bodies live again after you die, by means of the same Holy Spirit living within us. Folks, we are alive. Regardless of what this body does, we are alive in Christ Jesus. Now, don't miss that. Paul's saying that the Spirit which resurrected the Messiah Jesus from the dead lives in you today. That's your source of strength. That's your security. That's your pride, that God Almighty lives within you. He is encouraging us today through His breath. He is our comforter, helper, encourager, the breath of life. He brings new life in the Messiah, and though our outward bodies are wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. We can trust that the Ruach knows our whole story from beginning, middle, and end. He knows you. He knows what you need. He knows when you're hurting, unlike anybody else. And He will always give us guidance and comfort when we ask. It happens through the power of the Ruach, God's holy breath. That's who rests within us, folks. That's who will lead and guide you as you look to Him. We walk forward, not in fear, but in faith and power and glorious mission for God Almighty. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word You have provided. Thank You for the joy of being able to know that there is a power that rests within us that was a part of all this creation. And You have assigned Him to hover over us at times, to be excited about what You're going to do in our lives, to supply strength and wisdom. Father, we need to learn to identify that source and to tap into that source and allow that source to be able to guide us. Now, Father, I pray that we make those good decisions. If anybody does not know You as Lord and Savior, folks, may You just so impress upon them, like the Apostle Paul, that they're just so pushed down the aisle almost. But for the most of us here, may we just be strong in who we are in You. Bless now, open up your altars, and I thank You for Your glory alone. Amen.